Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. The following program celebrates the 91st birthday of Dominic Argento. Singing and Other Sins co-host Blair Boone Magura joins me to interview the composer. The music you're hearing is Argento's own variations on Happy Birthday. Before we join him, here's some background on this prolific and successful composer, probably best known for his operas and choral music, but certainly deserving his place on Singing and Other Sins for his many art songs. As you'll hear, one of his art song cycles won the Pulitzer Prize. As you'll also hear, Argento's music freely oscillates between tonality, atonality, and even the lyrical use of 12 tone techniques he learned from one of his many teachers, Luigi Dallapiccola. After his studies, Argento settled in Minnesota, teaching at the university and becoming a dominant force in the Twin Cities' cultural life.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much. I wish you were a lot younger than I am, but that's inevitable.
I always think that being healthy in mind is so important, and you sound very healthy in mind, sir.
Yes. I've learned that expression that I've been hearing most of the last 5 or 6 decades, that as long as you have your health, there's so much truth to that.
Mr. Argento, please tell us about your use of prose that you've selected so often as the basis for your art songs.
I don't think of myself as a song composer. I don't know whether any of my colleagues do who write a lot of songs. I write a lot of songs just because, to me, a song is the musical equivalent of a letter. For me, writing a letter is just a quick way of connecting with someone. I think of songs as letters in a sense that they are the fastest way of communicating. They're short and brief and stated to the point. I think they're probably more truthful than, say, advertisements are or commercials.
Since you speak of art songs as a kind of direct communication, let's enjoy your song from a cycle drawn from letters by composers. We'll hear one of Schubert's letters, sung by Vern Sutton, for whom you wrote it. Thank you. You're listening to the celebration of Dominic Argento's 91st birthday on Singing and Other Sins. From a set of songs that Mr. Argento wrote to letters of composers, we heard Schubert with guitarist Jeffrey Van and tenor Vern Sutton. Mr. Argento, what are your thoughts about the directness of a song?
No one I don't know has ever written a song where there's sort of a very phony vocabulary being used, or an effort to sound avant-garde, or to impress some technical manner. Usually a song is something a composer really feels that he wants to convey to another person. And as a result, I find them very truthful forms of music to indulge in.
Okay, let's illustrate what you're saying with another of your letters of composers. This is a Chopin letter.
An immense desert.
That was a letter of Chopin, set by our birthday composer and guest, Dominic Argento, sung by Patrice Michaels, with guitarist Jeffrey Kust. Mr. Argento's early six Elizabethan songs are his most often performed art songs and must bring him some regular income. Let's hear Diaphenia, two words of Henry Constable. Barbara Bonney with André Previn in Argento's Diaphenia from his six Elizabethan songs.
Are most of your song cycles from commissions? If so, you know who will be singing and perhaps write with that voice in mind.
Yes, that's true. And for me, that's the only way to go. I don't think I, in the last 10 or 20 years, have written songs not directed to someone particular, some particular performer. I was so impressed, I think, when I first knew about Britten and Pears, when I discovered that Pears' whole career as a singer was because he was primarily a Britten interpreter, and everything every note Britten wrote for tenor voice was specifically designed to work around Peter's limitations or range or his eccentricities. And that's also true of other composers, I think. And I have found that writing something specifically for Frederico Estrada brought out the best I have in me. And I think that's true in every case. And was able to write music that fit the character of the singer very well, knowing the musical profile of the performer allows one to come up with the kind of music, first of all, that they will like, and that fits them so well, they do it very well.
Since you mentioned Frederica von Stade and the influence she had on your writing, let's hear a portion of the piece that you wrote with her in mind, Casa Guidi. In this work, you used letters again for your text. These were written by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, describing her life in Florence with her husband, Robert Browning. That was the first song of Dominic Argento's Casa Guidi, performed by the voice he had in mind while writing the work, Frederica von Stade. The Minnesota Orchestra was conducted by Eiji Oe. If you've tuned in late, this is Singing in Other Sins, a 91st birthday tribute to the American composer of operas, choral music, and art song, Dominic Argento. Should you want to hear what you've missed, you can find our archive at hawaiipublicradio.org/singinginothersins. Now let's ask Mr. Argento to describe the twisted course of the creation of his Pulitzer Prize-winning art song set called To the Diary of Virginia Woolf.
When you began writing for the Diary of Virginia Woolf, did you have Jesse Norman's a voice in mind, or Beverly Sills first?
Yeah, well, I had them in mind first, but was not for the diary. What happened was we have a wonderful organization in St. Paul here, the Schubert Club, which brings first-class recitalists, and they commissioned me to write a song cycle, and the first singer they offered me was Jesse Norman, and I would never have thought of something like the Diary of Virginia Woolf or the personality of Jesse Norman. Mm-hmm. To me, she's a very hot, sultry singer. I thought about the text I'd like to use at that time, and I thought I was going to be finishing a cycle for her. I was concentrating on the poetry of Sappho. Mm. That's probably a good thing that she had to cancel the recital, and I never wrote her music. When she canceled, the people who ran the Schubert Club suggested that they could replace her with Beverly Sills, and the commission still held. So writing for Beverly Sills was a wonderful challenge, but the poetry of Sappho was all wrong for her. I finally had an idea that I would like to write a gallery of Shakespeare heroines with speeches from Ophelia and various ladies in Shakespeare. She, too, never made a concert out here, so I never wrote that piece. The next offer they gave me, they finally were sure they would have Janet Baker. And for Janet, Sappho was no good, and the Shakespearean heroines didn't seem right. I find Janet Baker just the most extraordinary singer, and I wanted something really rich and something very close to her bone. And I thought an English woman, either a poetry or prose, and that led me very shortly to Virginia Woolf. The diary was purposely for her. She inspired the idea. I would never have thought of that for Norman or for Sills.
Sure.
Why is life so tragic? Why? I don't feel it.
On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we're celebrating the 91st birthday of Dominic Argento, who kindly and patiently is sitting for an interview with Blair Boone McGuire and myself. We just heard the second entry of Argento's From the Diary of Virginia Woolf, Anxiety, October 1920. Janet Baker was the mezzo-soprano, and the pianist was Martin Esep.
Regarding your Diary of Virginia Woolf, it is a Pulitzer Prize award-winning work, and we were curious if there was any other art song cycle that you're aware of that won the Pulitzer, or is yours the only one?
I'm not aware of it. I don't know the history of the Pulitzers. I was so surprised that I got the prize at all. I thought certainly living here in Minneapolis made me sort of a non-combatant, and I was not aware of the fact that I was even being considered. Years later, after having won a Pulitzer Prize, I was invited to New York to be one of the jury, music jury, and I discovered how it works and why I was sort of lucky to have ever wanted to win in the first place.
I'm fascinated by your set of art songs called The André Expedition. For our listeners, André, Strindberg, and Frankel began their polar expedition in 1897. Their records break off 3 months after they began. Their bodies were discovered and returned to Sweden 33 years later, at which time the diaries and notebooks of André and Strindberg were published. Most of the text for this cycle is taken directly from those.
There's some things in the piano part that are... I can just picture the balloon when I hear the piano part. It's a wonderful imagery for my mind.
I hope so. I gave a lot of thought to that. I love the story. It's a real adventure story that kids would just enjoy. But I wanted the music to give off a feeling of chilliness. And I think the piano's turned to be a nice cold instrument. The little tinkle that begins the whole thing to me is just spray of icicles.
Yes.
I think that's a piece that's uniquely for piano. After Virginia Woolf was written, her record company said that if I would orchestrate it, they would have her recorded. And I said, I can't do that. And orchestrating makes it too public. The piano is a very private, secret thing, and that's what the diary is all about. The André Expedition, wouldn't I prefer to have that with orchestra? And I said, no, I want the chilliness of the piano sound.
What was the Austrian newspaper wrote? Any man who says he will travel to the North Pole and back in a balloon is either a simpleton, a charlatan, or a Swede. How well we qualified. Young Strindberg, a letterhead Don Quixote, risked his life to impress the blue-eyed goddess of his dreams. Throughout the journey he wrote a love letter. But where did he expect to post them, I wonder? A Liebe André, glory and immortality, already photographed and measured for his waxwork likeness, which would stand in some dusty museum. Translucent finger pointing to this journal I now hold in my freezing hands. And stars, and asked myself over and over again, what attracted me to the north, like the trembling needle of a
We heard the opening of Argento's Andrea Expedition in a live performance featuring baritone Christoph Ferran Nomura with pianist Eric Malson. Besides art songs, Mr. Argento has written operas, choral music, and instrumental works. Let's hear one of his favorite non-vocal works, the slow movement of his Capriccio for Clarinet and Orchestra, Rossini in Paris, with the subtitle Une caresse à ma femme, a caress to my wife.
Thank you.
The slow movement of Argento's Capriccio for clarinet and orchestra, performed by Bert Hara, and the Minnesota Orchestra, conducted by Eiji Oe. The title was Une caresse à ma femme, a caress to my wife, which naturally brings up your wife.
Your wife is a source of inspiration for you, and you've spoken about that in previous interviews. I was wondering if you would care to add a little bit today, or just as enumerate what you've said in past interviews on how she served as a source of inspiration for your vocal writing.
I'll be quite honest and tell you that when I was in undergraduate at Peabody Conservatory, I was not interested in vocal music at all.
Oh, my goodness.
She was a student there, and we got married, and I suddenly became very interested in vocal music. What I never learned about writing songs, I learned from her. Not that she wrote songs, but for the way she sang and what she could do with them. The great songwriters, the great voice writers, like Strauss, even and Britten, are people married to singers. The way I learned with Carolyn, she was a very silent mentor. I would start writing something, and I'd leave it on the piano in my study when I went off to university to do my job. I'd come home and I'd find there'd be tiny notations all over the manuscript, like a comment pointing to a note saying, too high, dumb. And where do I breathe? Little pointers like that that were the rules of writing the music later on. But when I finally would come home and find that my manuscript had been untouched, I knew I was being successful.
That's great.
I love that barometer.
Earlier on this Dominic Argento birthday edition of Singing and Other Sins, we heard Schubert, one of your letters from composers. From your cycle called To Be Sung Upon the Water, we can hear In Remembrance of Schubert, which is your title. The poet William Wordsworth wrote his poem for the fellow poet and friend Collins.
Till all
Argento's In Remembrance of Schubert from his cycle To Be Sung Upon the Water was sung by Patrice Michaels with Elizabeth Bucchieri piano. Blair, I know you have something you want to ask Mr. Argento.
Since your compositional career has now slowed down, is there any other way that you feel that creative desire?
No, I must admit, the hard of hearing thing has been a real defeat for me, and there's no substitute for it. I do feel creative. I do have thoughts where I wish I could write this or that, and I know that it would be impossible. I have considered writing prose, but I don't know that I have any talent for that. The hardest of hearing started about 8 years ago, and it's progressively gotten worse. Friends who like to be consoling will say, well, after all, Beethoven managed to survive it. But they missed the point that in Beethoven's time, the vocabulary was so simple. It was just a matter of two or three chords, really, the sort of thing that rock musicians specialize in. And in our time, the language of music is so complex and the vocabulary is so rich that unless one can imagine the sounds of, say, seven different notes in one chord, I think that's an impossibility.
We played one of your Elizabethan songs in its original setting for piano. Now I'd like the audience to hear another one of them in your orchestrated version. This is Spring, to the words of Thomas Nash. That was Spring, in Argento's version for a kind of Baroque-sounding chamber orchestra conducted by C. Thomas Brooks, with Jean Danton soprano.
I've read that you don't encourage composition students to pursue such a difficult career. For this program, let's assume there's a listener who's really committed to the world of composing, and further that she or he wants to write art songs. Is there any guidance that you'd like to offer?
No, I just feel they ought to be warned that it's going to be a very difficult vocation to try to make a living out of. I think I have always needed my work at the university to put bread on our table, and later in my life, of course, commissions help. But just to wait for commissions, particularly in the first half of your career, is going to be very difficult, and unless you are truly committed to the idea of writing music, just know it's going to be a tough ride.
At a certain point in your life, could you have survived just on commissions?
It may be, but I think I would have been very thin.
Oh, we're all supposed to lose weight anyway, so
To me, it doesn't sound like a skinny person wrote your Casaguidi songs. So I'd like to play the one entitled Robert Browning, A Loving Portrait, written by his wife.
Thank you.
The Robert Browning song from Casa Guidi, performed by Frederica von Stade. The Minnesota Orchestra was conducted by Eiji Oe. Mr. Argento, how would you like to end this 91st birthday celebration?
Would you allow me to send a greeting to a friend I made in Hawaii?
Please.
Who I would know will be listening to this program. Her name is Sue Solstead.
Okay.
And I just would like to say hi, and I hope to see you soon.
Wonderful. That's a great way to end it.
Aloha.
Yes, with aloha.
Yes, I'd like to say I've enjoyed this interview very much. This is the first time I've really been interviewed on mostly the songs.
Mm-hmm.
Only when I'm interviewed, it's about the piece that I just have finished writing, which may be orchestral or instrumental, but this has been, for me, a pleasure. So thank you very much.
This has just been a tremendous pleasure for me to be able to sit with you for this past hour. So for that, I thank you, and aloha.
Aloha to you.
This has been a Singing in Other Sins 91st birthday tribute to Dominic Argento. Many thanks to Mr. Argento, Blair Boone-Megura, and our engineer, Charles Husson. I'm your host and producer, Gary Hickling. Aloha.